Hi, I'm Will Roadhouse, and I'm the CEO of Roadhouse International, and welcome to another episode of Expat Thailand. Also, since you're aware of my new format change, where my new episodes are coming out every Friday in a long format, and then any subsequent updates, I will update you as soon as it happens during the week. Well, this, and also in addition to that, is I'm no longer going to separate Expat Thailand episodes with Real Estate Investor. Going to combine it all into Expat Thailand, because all I do is talk about Thailand, and I feel that everyone should be investing in Thailand, and that's what this episode is about. It's about investing, it's about real estate, it's about what's happening in the macro world and why I feel that Thailand now, and again, we are in September, approaching Q4 of 2022, why I feel that Thailand real estate is such a great and fantastic buy, and it's such a great timing right now. So what's happening in the world right now is you're seeing the strengthening of the US dollar. And the reason behind that is, as the feds are increasing interest rates, it's making a dollar stronger. And that's why you're seeing right now the US dollar is on par with the euro, 1-to-1, even at one time, it was actually 101-to-1, or 1.01 or 1.1-to-1 higher than the euro. And I believe that it's going to get stronger. And again, this is short term. This is the short term. Where this didn't happen pre-pandemic or during the pandemic. So when the US government turned on its money printers and was handing out free money to everybody, basically, with all the oversupply of new money that's out, it depreciated the dollar. So if you weren't aware, the Thai baht was actually at one time, pre-pandemic, one of the strongest performing currencies in the world. And the exchange rate at the time was right around 30-to-1. So 30 US or 30 Thai baht to one US dollar. Here's the great news. The great news is that as the US dollar is getting stronger, the Thai baht, you have more buying power over the Thai baht. Right now, we are roughly at about 36.7-to-1, soon to be maybe 37-to-1, or even 38, or maybe even 39-to-1. Folks, that's like a 10, 15, and eventually, you know, maybe 17% more buying power that you have with the US dollar or the euro or the Aussie dollar, whatever it may be, especially if you're coming from the United States and have the US dollar. But this opportunity is not going to last very long. My most popular podcast episode right now is Missed Opportunities. As you can see from the title, I believe that this is a missed opportunity that you don't want to miss out on. So let me give you an example. Large asset managers from BlackRock to other fund managers, they don't have a lot of choices right now because there's not a lot of great things to invest in. Nobody wants to invest in crypto right now because they feel, and I feel the same, there's another easy 20 to maybe 50% lower it can go. Nobody wants to invest in equities because they feel the same. Another 25% to 50% lower. So why even buy any crypto or buy any equity and precious metals like gold and silver if it's just depreciating? Why not wait a little bit? Wait for the Fed to say, okay, we're not going to raise interest rates. We're going to slow down. We're going to pause. Then start slowly jumping in. Start DCAing into these different type of investments. But right now, everyone's pouring their money into the US dollar because this is a safe zone. The US dollar is a safe point. But that's not going to last, folks. Listen to what Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan is saying. Read about what BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, managing $10 trillion in assets around the world. Listen to what Ray Dalio is saying. These are billionaires running billion-dollar corporations, billion-dollar hedge funds and asset managers. Michael Burry sold out pretty much most. If you don't know who he is, please Google him. Very famous asset manager, founder of Scion Assets. Featured on, Christian Bale played him on The Big Short, saying there's a bigger crash, imminent crash coming. Robert Kiyosaki's kind of way out there, but his doom and gloom prediction, I don't think it's gonna be as bad as he says it is, but it's gonna be up there. It's gonna be pretty bad. So if you think that this bear market is over and we've reached the bottom, we have yet to reach the bottom. The U.S. government says we're not in a recession, which is a joke. But many believe we will go to an official recession, and it'll be a really, really bad one early next year in 2023, may extend it to 2024. So people are parking their money in U.S. dollar, waiting to buy up bargains. So the question is, what do you do now? What do you do now? How do you protect yourself? For me, this is not financial advice to you. For myself and my family, we feel that it's time to get out of the US dollar. Because when the Fed stops raising interest rates, maybe realizing that, oh my God, raising interest rates is not bringing down inflation, because their goal is to get it down to 4%, eventually get it down to 2%. So it's not working. And when they pause it, they're going to realize it's not going to work. So they may have to start lowering rates and maybe realizing that's not working too. So they're going to have to print out more money to stimulate the economy. That means more free handout checks. And when they do that, the US dollar is going to depreciate the US dollar. The US dollar will no longer be the strongest currency. So that's why I feel that. And again, just like real estate, I warned everyone earlier in 2022 and all of 2021 saying sell your real estate. Because right now in the United States, 1 in 5 homes that are on the market are reducing the price. So the bubble is certainly popping. It hasn't popped yet, but it's popping. It's getting there. It's starting. It's begun. You can never predict the top, and you can never predict the bottom of the market. But you want to sell as close to the top as you can, and you want to buy as close to the bottom as you can. But you can't time tops and bottoms perfectly, but you can get close. So when I told everyone last year to sell your real estate, and this year sell your real estate, you still came out on top. So just like right now, I feel that we are kind of at peak at where the strength of the dollar. We don't need to wait any longer. And I feel that the Thai baht, yes, it can go a little lower, but it's still pretty low. I'm still getting a 10 to 15% discount by telling, advising my own family members, bring your US dollar here and buy real estate. Because you're basically getting a 10 to 15% discount. Because of your currency and the strength of your currency compared to the Thai baht, especially with the US dollar. Then in addition to that is, we don't have pandemic pricing in real estate like we did, but there are still some good deals and there are still some developers that are somewhat willing to negotiate, whether it's 3% off or even 5% off or even 10% off. So if you're combining that with a purchase power of the US dollar, and then having your broker like us, knowing that we have a good relationship with the developer, negotiating a 5 or 10% discount, that home that you bought now is 10% less, 15% less, 20% less. And that opportunity is not gonna happen again. This will be a missed opportunity for a lot of people. It is gonna happen. I'm gonna record this episode. I'll follow up this episode probably sometime next year and letting everyone know you just missed out. And the time I record that is when I see that the dollar has been weakened. It's too late. So this is an opportunity for those of you that are waiting in the sidelines, say, hey, I'm just going to wait. You know, I don't think I'm retiring Thailand for another, I don't know, maybe a year or two or 5 years down the road. I'm just going to wait. Well, that's fine if you want to. But if you knowing you can get prime real estate because there's a lot of inventory, so basically choose what you want, best units, best locations, and get it at a 10 to 20% discount, why wouldn't you? But, and again, it's only buying top luxury real estate. Coming here with $100,000, if that's all you can afford, that's all you can afford. I certainly understand that. But even coming here with $100,000, you're literally going to have at least a 10% more buying power. And at that price point, you're still going to get a 10% discount probably from the developer. So you're still going to get a large discount. Pretty substantial. So that is what I am seeing. That is a crystal ball that I see right now. The play right now is Thailand. Especially if you're coming from Western countries, especially the United States, have US dollars. Because a dollar is strong, the Thai baht is weak. Now is the time to do it. Now is the time to buy something. And the country is open, folks. It's fully, completely open. And in addition to that, they just officially greenlit the new golden visa, which is an investment visa. So if you are buying a combination of real estate of $1 million or more, you can have a 10-year visa. So that's exciting. But if you can't meet the requirements, I always, you know, for me, even if you bought $1 million, so the new clients that I have, and again, because my client minimum for purchase, combined purchases, is $1 million or more, I still won't recommend that visa to them. I will always suggest, if they can afford it, for the Thai Elite visa. That by far is the absolute best visa there is, because you have literally concierge service. When you have basically renewals, everyone at Thai Visa, the staff there does everything for you. No wait, not a long wait time. Everything is done. You get the carpet rolled out for you. You get excursions that are free. You get discounts. You have your own private line for concierge. Coming, entering the airport, you have your own line you get to and your own desk that you get to go through for through immigration. And I forgot to mention it so many times, is that also Thai Elite has their own lounges in Suvarnabhumi Airport. So you get a killer lounge to hang out in before you depart. So Thai Elite is always the best way to go. That's about $20,000 to $30,000 per person for a 20-year multi-entry visa with VIP benefits. So that, I feel, is the best play. Because you're bringing your money, you're buying luxury real estate, so whatever dollar you're coming in, always buy the smallest and the most luxurious development, the most prestigious developer, the most prestigious location. And that does not include Pattaya, that does not include Phuket. You know, it's that old saying, putting lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. You know, buying the most ultra luxury development in Pattaya is still a shitty investment. You're just putting lipstick on a pig. But I'm talking about doing something that is going to benefit for your future. Because if you're already coming here, if your plan is to come to Thailand, buy something now. You're going to get that discount. And especially now where there's a lot of inventory. So if you just say, Will, this is what I want. Bam, 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 bam. I want this. My wife wants this. And we want this and this and this and this and this and this. When the whole world opens up and all the world governments realize that COVID is here to stay, and there should be no more COVID restrictions. We should just treat COVID just like the flu, and everything is back to normal. And you have all these Chinese buyers and tourists coming because that is the number one buying demographic for the last decade. It will continue to be, but more and more Westerners are coming too. it's going to be too late for you because all the good inventory is going to be gone. Where now, you can pick whatever the heck you want. You could have built whatever you want. You can pick the creme de la creme. And you have more power to negotiate as opposed to a high market, a top of the market, like pre-pandemic, where developers weren't willing to negotiate. It's like, it is what it is. This is all we have. We're not lowering the prices. If you don't like it, we have 10 more people behind you waiting for it. Where now, that is not the case, except for some luxurious developments where there is a 30-day waiting list and they usually sell out within 30 to 90 days. But if you want your dream home and you know you're coming to Thailand, secure your real estate this year. You're going to be glad that you did because you get to have exactly what you've always wanted. That is by far right now the best thing to do. And also, when you've secured something, a home here, and that's what I tell people, even people that are planning to do a side hustle, open a business here in Thailand, tell them, okay, go travel around Thailand, get it out of you, travel around some neighboring countries, get it out of you, but bottom line is the only best place to live is going to be in Bangkok. The second best is Chong Hua Hin. Third best is going to be Jong Tien Beach. Every place else, rent. After you got all that out of your system, then you have to secure a home. When you secure a home here in Thailand, it motivates you more to spend more time here because you don't want to put this home to waste. And when you are forced to spend more time here, you are realizing how much better living here in Thailand is better than living in the United States, better than living in Canada, better than living anywhere in the UK, or Australia, New Zealand, or any place else in Europe. You're going to realize that faster, and you'll pack your bags faster and get here. That's what the benefit is. When you just take your time, you're like, I'm going to maybe live at a hotel, maybe get a serviced apartment. All you do is delaying. And you're not really giving it your full commitment. When you secure property, and this is for not just Thailand, for anywhere else in the world, if you are realizing that you no longer want to live in your home country you lived and grew up in all your life, that you want to live abroad, when you secure a piece of real estate, it forces you mentally to spend more time there. Costa Rica, first thing I bought was a triplex in San Jose in a place called Escazú, which is kind of like the Beverly Hills of the area. And my home was a really nice home, Newport Beach. But buying this forced me to spend more time in Costa Rica. And then eventually over time, I realized that Costa Rica was getting more expensive, that it just made sense to go back to California. And Newport Beach is actually prettier. Well, here in Thailand, if I were still living in Newport Beach, so my house now, my three-story home, mixed-use home, is probably worth, I would say, probably $4 million now. I would say about at least $4 million. So if I had that home, that's $4 million, it was my wife and I, and have our home now, here in Bangkok, in our beach homes, I would still prefer to live in Thailand. I wouldn't go running back to Newport Beach. Because I found my Newport Beach. It's a place called Cha Am Hoa Hin. I found my LA and my New York City. That place is called Bangkok. And everything about these two areas is 1,000 times better than living in Orange County, California. But that wasn't the case when I lived in Costa Rica. That wasn't the case when I spent months looking in Europe. And even before Costa Rica, looking at Mexico and Baja. I went to Mexico all my life since I was a kid. Always thought that'd be a home for me, but nope. So look at what's happening right now. The shootings are not ending in the United States. They're only getting worse and worse. Now more and more people are getting shot in random places. Safeways, schools, everywhere. Like, I guess most recently I read is some young teenager or older teenager was walking around New York just shooting people. It's like, what the hell? What the F? What is wrong with people? It's like nobody cares about each other. Here, I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. I feel safe here. When I talk to my wife's friends, and these are all very, very affluent Thais, they have their pedigrees from their master's degrees and their doctorates and make great money, and they also, some of them come from lots of money. When I ask them, and they've all been to the United States, been to Europe, would you ever move there? Like, no. Hell no. No. And I ask them why. First thing they say is, oh, the food sucks, which is true. Everything's too expensive, which is true. But the main thing is they feel unsafe. Even they can afford to live in the nicest place in North America, in Europe, or even Australia, New Zealand, they still prefer to live in Thailand. That speaks volumes. Folks that are in Thailand, that have been in this country a lot, and I say, well, that's not true. When I speak to Thais, they all want to come to the United States because they think it's the best country in the world. No, you're wrong, because you're hanging around hookers all day and these cretins that have no education. But when you hang around people that are educated, high so Thais, that live in Bangkok, and yes, they may have a second home in Hua Hin, that's really about it, no place else, but they have these beautiful, they have a beautiful life and luxurious life in Bangkok. Big ass home, great location, drivers, live-in maids, whole nine yards. And you ask them, if money was not an object, would you live in the United States? No. Would you live in Canada? No. Would you live in London? No. Would you live in Sydney? No. Would you live in Madrid? No. Would you live in Rome? No. Why? The food sucks. That always comes up first because we're such foodies. Everything is overly expensive. It's boring. And I feel unsafe. But of course, if you speak to some person from Isan that's poor, of course they want to get the hell out of Thailand. Go live in a place like the United States. They can't wait to leave. So that's why for people that I talk to, and all they do is hang around with these cretins all day, and for years or decades at a time, and when I have a discussion with them and they disagree with me, I'm like, tell me who you're hanging out with. That's why you're wrong. Change your environment, change your people, you see Thailand in a whole new light. And when you do that, it's better. It's a lot better. So that is all I have for you today. So think about it. Think about, what are these people doing? What are these asset managers doing? And why are they doing that? What's going to happen in the end of fourth quarter? Which I feel really nothing. It's just going to be higher interest rates. So the Fed is probably going to raise another 75 basis points. And then I keep doing so. Powell in his meeting in whatever, Wyoming or Montana, you know, stated there's going to be some pain. There's gonna be a lot of pain for you guys. No pain here for us. I don't give a shit if he raised it a full freaking point. There's no pain. If you're reading articles like, oh, well, there is some inflation because we just read this report about the instant noodle inflation. Who gives an F? Instant noodles went up by 15 cents. You're not a poor Thai. You're a rich American. Then you say, well, Will, I'm not a rich American. I'm just middle class or upper middle class. Let me repeat this again. You're a rich American. If you're middle class, upper middle class, and you bring that, you may think just a little bit of wealth here, you're rich here in Thailand. That raise in instant noodle, or a 25 cent increase in that bowl of noodles, or that plate of food, it doesn't mean jack to you. It's insignificant. You're not Thai. You're rich. Let's really set the record straight. You have nothing to be worried about. So you have to think, okay, nothing's probably going to happen towards the end of the year, other than it just gets worse and worse. But what's going to happen next year? Where are the interest rates going to be? Is the US dollar still going to be strong? Is crime going to decrease? No, it's not. It's an absolute joke if you think that. Is my standard and quality of living going to get better in 2023 or 2024? It's not. I don't care how rich you are, it's not. Multimillionaires are cutting back. Definitely people in the low seven digit, so let's say between 1 million to just under 5 million, they definitely do not feel rich any longer living in their Western country. Then when you get into people in that 8-digit range, they're feeling the crunch. And as the markets get worse, as everything get worse, remember there are massive layoffs that's happening, folks. If you're not reading, you have to. You can't turn away when it comes to financial news. You have to keep up. It's okay. Just, you don't want to read about sports and what the stupid Kardashians doing, all that stupid bullshit about entertainment. That's fine. Or you don't read about crime, that's fine. But please, always keep up with what's happening financially in your backyard and what's happening domestically in your country. It's not going to get better. Layoffs are happening and more are coming. Gold is losing strength. Silver, equity markets are going to tumble even further. Crypto markets are going to tumble even further. Massive corporations may go bankrupt, may have to reorganize. Consumer debt is skyrocketing out of proportion. What I see happening is that there is just enough money for people to get through Christmas. Then after come next year, they're going to stop paying their credit card bills. They're going to keep it up for just a little bit. Then the stimulus checks are going to come out, probably, because that's the only playbook that the feds understand. It's print more money. It's like putting a band-aid on a gunshot wound. So it's up to you, folks. Is that not motivation enough to get the hell out of there? Is that not motivation enough to say, a better life is literally, it's obtainable. It's an arm's reach away. You can get it. It's right here. So what are you waiting for? There's another episode. I'll just kind of give you a preview that I plan on doing sometime in the future. It'll be a long one. It's about motivation, but it's also about having your hands tied behind your back through other members of your family or friends, mostly other members of your family. So I'll give you a short preview. Some of you are probably telling me right now, it's like, well, I do want to go there. I just have this family member, this person just won't budge. They just won't go. So here's my question to you. Well, actually, before I ask you the question is, I like to believe that I'm really, really, really good at what I do. When it comes down to international real estate, understanding asset allocation, understanding how the financial world works and where people are gravitating towards, I'm really, really good at spotting trends. And I'm really, really good at saying no. And I'm really, really good at cutting ship when I feel that there's no returns coming. Whether it's moving to a different country or selling out a position at a small loss. But what I am master of? Human behavior. Unlike some nerd that has a pedigree that grew up their life being book smart, go to college, become a psychologist, or go to medical school, become a psychiatrist. How I have differed with those people is I've actually lived life. I have done every effing crazy shit that you can imagine, from young adolescent to having some of the best days. 6 years in college, I was literally like a Van Wilder. That was the most off the hook, the funnest time. It was a different type of fun I've ever had. I was in college 6 years, folks. So much fun. So I've lived life, traveled, lived an extravagant life, and had been fortunate with having some great friends and having friends that are extremely wealthy, that are extremely, extremely, what's the word I'm looking for? Just had a brain fart. Giving and wanting to share their wealth, in a sense of, I've had some of my best experiences from very, very wealthy friends. So my level of understanding human behavior is reality-based, not theoretical. A psychologist, psychiatrist can sit down with you, talk about your issues, but it always comes down to you have daddy issues, mommy issues. It always comes down to that, something like that. I may be exaggerating, but it comes down to that. Where I understand people because I've been around them as their trainer, as their mentor, as a leader. And I've also been a student looking up to mentors and leaders and other trainers. I've had the privilege of being around some of the best people on this planet, and also being around some of the most biggest fucking scumbags on this planet. It's from one spectrum to the other. So that makes me truly, of living almost half my age, half a century, mastering, understanding human behavior. So now comes to this. The sad thing that I see about people that have horrible and shitty lives is that they feel that just because they're your parents, they gave you birth, they gave you temporary shelter, but they taught you nothing. You became completely effed up because you come from an extremely horrible family with horrible figures in your family that taught you nothing. That they feel they have an obligation over you, a hold over you. And then you feel obligated to them. I always like to tell people that are in these horrible relationships, just because of the blood relative does not give them a right to treat you like shit. Just because they're a blood relative doesn't mean you are obligated for them to drag you down and make your life worse and bring more stress in your life. Okay, sure, of course, you are obligated if you're bringing some kid into life and they're an adolescent. But if you got some kid that's no longer a kid, that's 20-some years old, that's a complete fuck up, Well, that's on them. What I'm trying to say is, too many people, and I don't believe this is selfishness at all. Sometimes you're not being selfish enough to want your own personal happiness. I see too many people sacrificing for the wrong reasons, and they give up personal happiness. It's literally like taking a piece of shit, a fresh pile of piece of shit, or a dried up piece of shit on a street, and trying to make that into a five-star mission, a three-star Michelin rated dish. It's just not gonna happen. You can't convert a piece of shit into something that's tasty. I'm sorry to put it so bluntly, but that's true. I've always been the type of friend that listens to their friend. I've just always been a shoulder to cry on, a person, a confidant. People just like to open up to me. And I don't mind listening to some of these problems in the past. I do mind it now. Don't care for it now. But every single time when I think about of the thousands upon thousands of conversations of desperate people, people in need, people that are depressed, people are ready to go into depression, people that see no end in sight, whether it's close friends or coworkers or employees, whatever, it all boils down to the same exact thing. These people are not putting their life first. And they're just going down with a sinking ship. So if you, as the family member, realize that, I'll give you a couple of scenarios, that you're gonna outlive your money. Things are okay now, but it's only gonna get worse, 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 and worse. And you're telling your significant other this, listen, our health is gonna deteriorate. We cannot afford this mortgage. We're gonna have to downgrade. We're gonna have to keep this car for the rest of our life, and it's already on its dying legs. We're gonna have to give up this and that and this and that. We have to move. We have to move for our well-being. We have to move for our life depends on it. And this a significant other saying no, because they don't like change. They don't want to change. Comfortable. They're the ones that when they're going to deal with the shitty problem as they arise. They're really good at putting out fires. Have you ever met those people like that? And there are a lot of people like that. They wake up in the morning, and at the end of the day, they realize they haven't got shit completed. You know why? Because all they do all day is just put out fires. That's all they do. And I used to be one of those people. I used to be one of those dumb fucking idiots that woke up and just putting out fire after fire after fire. And at the end of the day, I'm like so exhausted and completely stressed out. I'm like, what the F? I didn't get complete jack shit today. But I learned how to change that. And again, from reading books, being around other successful people. So if you're in that situation, you have to realize sometimes it's just saying, see ya. Here's half of my money. I'm sorry, but I'm trying to save our life. But if you feel that this is gonna, gotta go, because I'm not gonna go down with a sinking ship. You may say, okay, well, that's kind of selfish. You just can't just abandon someone. Well, I'm speaking a very high 35,000 feet overview because obviously there are other inherent problems in this relationship. I'm not just saying that you're in a loving relationship and you're just thinking another, just, you've had 30, 40, 50 years of marriage or you've been best friends. I'm not saying you cut ship with them. But there are many of you that are not good relationships, but you're still there, still being traumatized, still being stressed out, going into depression, coming out of depression, going into depression, an abusive relationship, in a relationship that's going nowhere. You're with a complete freaking loser. Those are the ones I'm talking about. It's time to say bye. It's time to think about me. And it's time to think about my future. I want you to join me. If you want to better your life too, please join me. If you can't, see ya. There are so many. And man, I've seen more and more of this as I get older, especially with older people. When I see other people, what I see is our family members that are so old that they guilt other family members into taking care of them. When those family members say, listen, we're rich, we got money. I'll buy the home next door to you. I'll buy another home. You can be next door to me. I'll have a live-in nurse. This, they still don't want to move. They still don't want to do it. No, we want you to come here. Thank God my parents aren't like that. I had the same conversation with my parents. My parents, you know, we're not poor. I said, Mom, Dad, I mean, you've been to Thailand. You see what it's like. It's a fantastic place to live. And when I'm here, I'm always sending pictures and videos. I talk to them at least once a week, very close to my family. And they're like, wow, this is great. You know, because I show them pictures, because we're foodies, show them pictures of food and excursions we go on, the beach area, city of Bangkok, all the fun things that we do. And over time, they're like, okay, it didn't take much convincing. We're going there too. But if you have family members, and I know there are, that are these family members get older, they get meaner, they get senile, and they refuse help. You hire people, and the people that work for them just can't stand them and quit. There's no help. They want you. They want you inside that old decrepit home to be miserable like them. To be the punching bag. And if you are a sucker to fall for that, I'm sorry. There is no help for you. But there are more blood-sucking relatives that do that than anything else. They take you down with the ship. And I have personally seen it through friends and clients that have family members like this. So it's not being selfish, folks. The world is getting inherently worse. I don't give a shit what Bill Gates is saying when he's saying, yeah, actually, what people don't realize is the world is actually getting better. It's getting better technological improvements is making our life easier. Like me recording this on a smartphone, having a laptop, having smart TV, now having electric cars. And yes, that's making our life easier. But people in general and their behavior is getting worse and more violent. That's what a nerd like Bill Gates does not understand. But you and I do. You and I see it. The world is getting worse and worse. So if the world is getting worse and worse, how much worse and how much faster is your environment deteriorating? How much more violent is it? If it is, you have to get out of there. You have to get out of there for your mental health, for your longevity. You also have to get out there because of your personal finances. You can't just wait hoping that tomorrow is going to be a better day. There are people that bought homes that weren't in a flood zone that now is in a flood zone. Their home, last year, a little bit of water came in. Then the next year, more water came in. Then the year after that, home completely wiped out. That's not changing. And I am a firm believer that insurance companies, a lot of them actually aren't insuring a lot of homes like that anymore, that I feel that large insurance companies are going to go bankrupt. They can't pay this out. And what is an individual's largest asset? It's always their home. It's always their home. So save yourself from a lot of heartache, a personal level and a financial level. If you don't move to Thailand, that's fine, but find your other haven. Go somewhere where it's affordable. You can have a great life, be in a less violent area, meet new friends, have better health care, have better food, have more entertainment in your life. There's a whole big world out there. And that world is to be discovered. And you'll never find it sitting at home, streaming Netflix and Hulu and Disney and HBO all freaking day. You're never gonna find it. You're never gonna find it by having the same routine every single day, going to the same place. You're gonna realize one day that shit, my life sucked. You're gonna be your deathbed, just like my very, very one of my rich cousins that passed away a few years back, worth tens of millions of dollars. He's created a real estate empire in Taiwan, Taipei. Realized that working for 30 plus years straight, every single day, managing and acquiring new buildings, that he took no time to vacation, no time to look after his health, that in his deathbed, it was too late. Sad. It's really sad. You have $500,000? Obviously, that's not enough money for you to live anywhere in your Western country. Bring that over here. If you don't want to buy something, fine. $500,000 for two people, including rent, that'll last you 30 years. Last you the rest of your life, 40 years. If you want to buy something, $500,000, $200,000, that will buy you. If you want a big place, a three-bedroom house or three-bedroom townhome closer to the middle of the city, or that will buy you a one-bedroom condo in a killer location within walking distance of everything. And at $300,000, that will last you a long time, forever, as an emergency, as long as you have other forms of income like Social Security coming in. Because if you have no housing debt here in Thailand, I repeat myself, each individual can easily live on between $1,000 and $2,000 a month. That's all you need. And you'll still have a pretty luxury lifestyle. As long as you have no housing debt. You're gonna have no housing debt anyway because they don't provide mortgages for foreigners here anyway. Can you do that back where you live in your home country? No, you can't. Can't even do that in Latin America. You definitely can't do that in Costa Rica. So think hard, motivate yourself, make changes, get the hell out of there. Get out of those poisonous relationships, get away from people like that. Get away from, you know what's very interesting is that I read this article. It was actually sent to me by my dad, that Las Vegas is now considered one of the rudest places in America, which is not surprising, actually. It's actually not surprising. I've noticed that in Las Vegas. Not just that Las Vegas is getting inherently more violent with more violent crime, but it's also one of the rudest places in America. And then it's really funny because there's another stupid article that came out as Las Vegas being the happiest place. And then I think it's happy, it's a temporary happiness, like freaking someone doing a line of coke. Because you come to Las Vegas with all this money that you saved up for last year to buy a fucking $15 domestic beer or $20 domestic glass of wine and have a $15 hot dog or a $20 cheeseburger, or if you want actually a nice dinner, it's at least $200 per, $200 dinner per person.
Yeah, so they have this temporary happiness. They're high. Then they go back home like, oh shit, what the hell just happened? Did I really just spend freaking $4,000 or $5,000? So I believe that are, you know, that's completely skewed. But it's happening everywhere. Every single city in America. More dangerous, more violent, more expensive, more unhappy people. You can always do your own personal happiness index study. I do it myself all the time. When I'm walking around in Bangkok or anywhere in Thailand, really anywhere I go, I'm very observant. I'm very observant. I'm just gonna warn you, if you're anywhere near close to me, I'm gonna listen to what you're saying. Because I'm curious. It's not because I'm nosy and want to talk about you. No, I'm just curious about your behavior and the type of person you are and the conversations that you have with one another or to yourself or your physical actions, your body gestures. I want to know for my own well-being, to my own curiosity. So I am constantly, wherever I go, I do my own happiness index, my own happiness study. And what I found is every time I come to Thailand, other than Pattaya or Phuket, people are happy here. Extremely happy. Everyone's happy, from foreigners to locals. Everyone is effing cloud nine all the time. Everyone's happy. Obviously, if you're a really poor Thai, you're not happy. But poor people are they're very unique. Some of the happiest people I've ever met on earth are poor. Yeah, they don't have anything, but they learn, they find happiness through family and through relationships. So I have met many poor families that are extremely happy than even the richest families I've ever met. But the moment, and my parents and I and my brother said the same exact thing, the moment I set foot in the United States, that's anywhere in the United States, what do I see? Just gloom, unhappy, frustrated, pissed off people. That's all I see. That is all I see. I'm an American, but I was born with an American citizen, as an American citizen, lived in America most of my life, even though every single summer came back to Taiwan, to Japan, and Hawaii. But I'm an American, so I know what it's like to be an American, and I know and I see how it's changed since I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was great. But then again, as I'm a kid, I don't know any better. But as a intelligent adult, when I come into the country, I just can't wait to leave. People are just freaking unhappy. And now the unhappiness is worse because more shit has piled on. They are more in debt. They're making less money. Everything's more expensive. Even rich people have to cut back. It's crazy. Here in Thailand, if you're rich, you don't cut back. I don't cut back. You don't cut back on anything. You consume more because that's what this country is about. It's about getting everything that you've always wanted and you couldn't have. Bigger home, more pampering, less work, less stress. Now, I was talking to another very good friend of mine. And actually, this is two conversations. And he offered me a great opportunity. And I said, thank, another multimillion-dollar opportunity. He's created just thousands of multimillionaires. Known him for like, oh, I think it's like 13 years now. Just one of my very best friends. And I said, and I was telling him, I said, thank you, but I'm cutting back, man. I'm ready to retire. I'm not planning on taking any more projects. And he's like, I understand that. He's like, and I told him that I've deleted over the last couple of years 99% of my contacts, only keeping the ones I want to keep, him being one of them. And he said, yeah, he's like, I know that I know this well of you, that you've always preferred a smaller, more intimate circle of true people. And it's true. And I was talking to another friend, so one of my best friends, known him for over a decade, and telling him the same exact thing. Like, I'm saying no to large projects because I'm getting ready for retirement. I don't want to be in my 50s or 60s looking over 10, a staff of 10 or 100 or 1,000. I don't want to be that age having to be on beck and call with hundreds of new clients. I don't want to be stressed out with any of that crap. What I want is simple 1, 2, maybe 3 clients at the most. I certainly cut back on that. So moving forward, it'll probably just be 1 or 2 clients a year. That's it. But I'm only taking the ones I want. That are like, I have an idea. I can tell that they're going to be good friends of mine. We're going to have a long-lasting relationship. And they're going to be easy to manage. And spend time with my wife and her family and my family. Travel more. Get into the best shape of life. I want to be, I'm not going to post this because I'm just not vain like that, but I want to be, in my mind, I want to see this. I want to be one of those guys in their 50s that people look, that if I look at myself like, holy cow, I'm in better shape and I look better than I was in my 20s. I want to take my wife everywhere, take our families everywhere. Cruises, to traveling different countries, experiencing different things. I want to take up so many different hobbies. And the last thing I'm going to do is take on new giant projects and add more stress. So the funny thing is I'm going to end up with this, is my demographics. So here we are, September 2022. My demographics have suddenly now changed. My largest demographic that has doubled in size now, just over the last 3 months, the last quarter, are now Gen Xers between that 35 to about 45 age group. And why is that? No, I'm sorry. It's the older Gen Xers. So it's like that 40s about late 40s, mid 40s. That's my largest demographic now. It's now double the size of anything else. And I feel the increase is because these individuals that are looking for retirement down the road are now realizing, oh my God, we're not going to be able to maintain our luxury lifestyle. Oh my God, we're going to run out of money. Oh my God, this place sucks and I'm tired of it. It's time to move on. I think that's what's happening. So if you're one of those people, it's time to make the changes. It's time to do it now. Don't do it tomorrow. Don't do it next year. Start now. And you're probably doing so by listening to podcasts like this, watching videos. And hopefully you've been coming to Thailand. If you haven't yet, book your trip. Just don't come here in September. Don't come here in October because of the rainy season. But come here in November. Come here in December. Enjoy what it's like to be here for Thanksgiving, Christmas, because it's amazing. Kicking off New Year's here is amazing. And I hope you do that. So thank you so much for joining me. And I'll see you in Thailand.